Welcome. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. This is the show where brothers-in-law DJ Culp and Brad Coleman talk about stuff from our perspective as men. It's a show for anyone who wants to hear how Christians interact with the world. And don't worry, we're real. We've grown up in church, and we want to share our experiences with you. We'll talk life stuff, church stuff, man stuff, and stuff. Here we go. Greetings, listeners here and there and everywhere, all across the land. This is the Men Church Stuff Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, DJ Culp, as always, here with my beloved brother-in-law, Brad Coleman. Brad, what's up, man?
I'm just excited about our second guest.
Yep,
second episode, official guest ever. Yeah.
I know. This is episode 98. 98. Two away from 100.
Which is crazy that we can even count that high.
I know. Actually, it's not us. It's, you know, the fact that I'm able to like look back to look at the previous episode and I just have to add one.
Oh.
So yeah.
There you go. Okay.
So our guest listeners is actually my pastor at First Baptist Church in Milan, Pastor Mr. Brother Reverend Josh Sinkfield. What's up, man?
Hey, man, it's good to be here. I love all those titles. I need
all of
them.
Every one of them.
I do the same thing to you.
Yeah, you do.
And so grateful for you guys and the ministry that you have of talking.
Of talking, right.
Good thing. And so it's an honor just to be here and jump in on your conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
We're glad to have you.
Yeah, we are very, very glad. Now, normally, Josh, I mean, so listeners, just to let you know, Josh has actually been an avid listener of our show since we started. And to that effect, Josh, what we'd really like for you to do is just like stroke our egos. So we're not going to really talk about much today, except you're just going to.
How awesome the podcast is.
This is going to be the shortest episode ever. That was right.
Okay. So, listeners, as you all are well aware, and actually, if you're new to the show, you may not be aware, but we've got 96 episodes for you to go back and listen to. Brad's a pastor outside of St. Louis, and one of the things that we have done in the past that has been near and dear to us is memes with Brad.
Yes.
But Josh, to start the show off, we're going to do memes with Pastor Josh Sinkfield.
There you go.
Goodness.
Oh, yes. So
you did not give me a heads up on this.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I did not. That's exactly right.
He does not send me the memes ahead of time either.
No. Yeah. Brad doesn't even know what they are. So the game is that I'm going to give, let's do maybe Josh, let's do three and maybe like four tops, but the game, listeners, if you're new to the show, the game is that I throw up a meme, and just as a point of history here, my dad, Brad, and me, we all have a trio, text group where we just send each other memes and try to get each other to laugh. And that's the goal. That's all they are. So we developed this little game where I throw up memes and Brad has to come up with sermon illustrations right there on the fly. So, Josh, it is now your turn, mon frere.
All right.
Josh, I'm going to give you the choice of numbers 1 through 11. What do you want?
Numbers 1 through 11?
1 through 11.
Let's do... Eight.
Oh.
Because it's the number of completion plus one.
There you go.
That's right.
There's no, that's it.
This is a good one. All right. Let me get over here and then we'll share the screen. All right, Josh, your first meme. There you go. Go ahead and read it for our listeners.
All right. There it is. I've opened a can of worms. They just sit there. The worms. It's hardly the chaos that's been advertised. Open the can of worms. I get it. Yep. They just sit there, the worms. It's hardly the chaos that's been advertised. Well, I probably, have to use my kids in some sort of illustration here. Pastor's
Sure.
kids get the use and all that. Because my youngest comes up with worms all the time. He just walks in with worms, and we are literal worms all the time.
Nah. Literal, he actually walks in with worms.
I'm
He wants you to go
trying to.
fishing, Josh. He's trying to give you hints that you
Yeah,
should go fishing.
I
I
know, and
know.
they
He's
love
dropping
to
all
go
those
fishing,
hints, right? I got
so
the
they grab those.
bait, Dad.
I'm trying to think where I'd go in scripture with this. It's hardly the chaos that's been advertised. That's the key there. I'd want to go. It's almost an opposite to go just in the church at Corinth. Paul's opening up this. He's writing to Corinth, and they were a mess. Just one thing. I mean, he hits the ground running in 1 Corinthians 1,
he does.
and then he has to write a whole nother letter because they're still a mess. And so he just like open up this can of worms, right? And the thing says hardly the chaos, but I think he opened that up, and there was tremendous chaos, and he's having to fix all that mess. All the worms that are in the Church of Corinth, and which gives me hope as I pastor a church, right?
Absolutely.
Maybe it's not that bad.
It's and it's not like Corinth. He kind of has to write the second letter to correct him, like, because they went overboard
That's right.
with what he said
Yeah,
in the
what's
first
going on over
letter.
here?
Whoa,
Yep, I'm thankful for books like that.
Nice.
That's the first thing that came to my mind.
All right. Let's do let's give you let's go with number one.
Listen, DJ, you're not paying me enough for this.
You're right, I'm not. All right. And then I come back over here and
Screen
share.
share. All right, here it comes. There it is. All right, there's a picture on the wall that says churches and Christian movements throughout history. So it's kind of going from 1 AD all the way to now. And it says, so this is where our movement came along and finally got the Bible right. Jesus is so lucky to have us. This is a membership class. So one of the so the teacher of the class said, this is where our movement came along and finally got the Bible right. And the member in the class says, Jesus is so lucky to have us. Gosh, that I feel like that's every new idea that I thought of,
That's
like this is the way, right?
right.
I mean, if you're not doing this, what are you even doing? You're behind that, you're going through that, and I just go back. I take a lot of things back here, but I'd go back to the Great Commission. Like this is what it is.
Great
The
Commission
early
hasn't
church in
changed.
Acts. I mean, this is where our movement came along. No, we've got to go back to the basics of Matthew 28.
There's a lot of good books out there, but anytime someone presents to me a ministry book and goes, "This book will change your life."
I've already had my life
I'm
changed.
like,
Thank you. That's right.
I've already got
That's right.
that book.
That's right.
I already got the book that changed my life.
So Brad, to that point, this is true, Josh. My favorite title of a book that I've ever seen in my life. Actually, I don't know if they still have it, but it was on a bookshelf in my in-laws. And it was titled "The Greatest Stories of the Bible." And I looked at it and I just stared at it and I thought, isn't that called the Bible?
No, we just pick out the ones we want.
Right, yeah. What are you talking about?
I got a book that's I've never read it, but I keep it around. It's just a smaller book, and it says everything that Jesus ever said concerning angels and all. And I was like, maybe you need to go back and read John. Because John goes, "Hey, I'm not writing down everything."
The books in the world couldn't hold it.
Yeah, that's right. No, Jesus only said the things that are recorded in Scripture. He never had another conversation. Never told his mommy his tummy hurt or anything.
All right, Josh. So we've already done number one and number eight. What do you want?
Three, of course. Three.
Number three. Oh, this is
Three.
so good. Oh, thank you.
Three,
Oh,
sir.
this, yeah. Hey, three, my lord.
Holy hand grenade of Antioch.
Let's see, it takes a second. Pop up. Bob Newhart. That's at least it's a credit to him right here in
Yeah.
this
Yeah.
picture. I don't like country music, but I don't mean to denigrate those who do. And for the people who like country music, denigrate means put down. Yes.
This one has made it on my door as
Yes.
well.
That's just stereotyping people who like country music, which I take offense to that. I,
And so does Brad.
yeah. I'm glad they defined denigrate
in
for me,
fact, before I came in here, I was listening to some George Strait. So,
there you go.
yeah, that's old school, man. Yeah.
The king of country.
But I do appreciate, like you, Brad, I appreciate the definition of
Yeah.
that. I think, when anybody asks, you talk about a biblical example, when anybody asks Jesus a question, they'd be like, the Good Samaritan, Luke 10, he said, what must we do to inherit eternal life? Or, and he says, what does the law say? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, who is your neighbor? So it's like this, like, of course I know who my neighbor is. Actually, you don't. Let me explain it to you. And went into that. So Jesus did that often. They knew it all, right? They knew all the law and commandments, but yet Jesus had to break it down for them. So
Yeah, good deal.
very
Yep.
nice.
Absolutely.
All right.
What happened? You guys
Last one.
disappeared.
Last one. All right. Brad, should I give him one about a wedding invitation or about experiencing an experience in a job interview? Wedding invitation or job interview?
What's your wedding invitation?
Wedding invitation.
Because I know it's not going to be a basic wedding invitation. There's
Oh,
got to be
dude, this is
some
like
kick.
this
Because
is
if you
so
pick
good.
it,
This is so good. I don't know if I've sent you or you and Dad this one. It's
wedding
so good.
invitation.
All right, here it comes.
All right. I received a wedding invitation. At the bottom was printed, "Your presence itself is a gift. We don't want any gifts at the wedding." I was confused, so I read it again and again. Finally, I came to the conclusion that I am not invited. Yeah, I mean, that's what it,
Anti-invitation.
your
Yes,
presence itself is a
it
gift. We don't want any gifts at the wedding.
is.
So, what do you want from me?
It's logical to me.
I was so confused. I read it again and again. Finally, I came to the conclusion I am not invited.
I am not
No.
invited to the wedding.
Listen, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven.
Dude, there
There
you
you
go.
Yeah. You got to receive the real invitation. So, I don't know.
That's no, that's good.
That's
I
solid,
yeah,
man. I
that's
love it. Oh, well done, Josh. There you go. You can
Yeah.
sit back and relax,
There's a lot of
dude.
pressure on those.
I know, right?
But I kind of like that because now it makes the conversation, the rest of it, feel like, oh, that's not.
That's right.
If I can do memes, I can
That's
do
right.
theology. So,
And
oh, that's
I
funny.
always say, like, sometimes you got to stretch it a little bit, and I just point that out. Okay, this is not really a good
Yeah.
Right.
example. Just kind of got to
That's good.
go real far. And I wouldn't do that, but for the
Yeah.
podcast, it's funny.
Yeah.
That's what
So,
I say all the time. Every illustration has holes in it. They're not
right.
perfect. We're
Well,
trying
sure.
to.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely.
And when I was a youth pastor, the teenagers would try to find those holes. So I had to
Mm-hmm.
be duly prepared
Right.
because I had to be prepared for how that illustration was going to kind of fall short. But I loved it because they were thinking.
So what, yeah, what about this? Yeah, that's good.
listeners, this is actually part two of a three-part series on the local church. Episode 97, why we love the local church was really just kind of an overview survey of why Brad and I are like really love the local church. Josh, if you would, before we really kick things off, just kind of give us maybe your experience or however you want to answer the question. But why do you love the local church? So
Assuming that you do, we're
assuming
making
that you
that
did, right?
assumption.
I don't mean to feed you
Well,
information.
let me change my answer.
Stop badgering the witness.
Why do I love the local church?
Yeah, and so just for our listeners, the local church is it's a different conversation than just the church, right? It's not necessarily the entirety of the body of believers as kind of we've really grown up thinking about church, but rather thinking about like a church and its immediate community, that kind of thing.
So first, I do love the local church. So clarify that. And
You can keep your job.
thank you. And I love all my members.
That's right.
And s secondly, I was raised in a pastor's home. So like the local church has been
God
our
bless you.
life. So it is our family. It is everything. But I think I really came to love the church, love the people, love who they were when my wife and I went through a difficult time with sickness, and we didn't know the answers to this. It was something that we couldn't figure out on our own. It was one of those things where trial and error, you had to just let it play out, which was really tough because I wanted to fix it. I wanted to make it right. Let's do it. Let's go where we need to go, do what we need to do. And that wasn't the case. And I felt useless, but it was the people in the local church who came alongside of us and just sat with my wife, took me to a meal, just cared for us, even though they couldn't fix it either. It was just something that had to play out. Ultimately, the Lord had to heal that. But yeah, I began to see like just people caring for one another is the beauty of the local church. There's not another, I mean, I don't know another organization that would do that, for their people. But the church, that's what we're called to do. We're called to love one another. We're called to serve one another. I mean, all the 150 plus one another's in scripture. And I've experienced that in my life. And so it's not just something we talk about or preach on. It's something I've experienced, something I'm trying to live out as well in my life. And that's why, I mean, that's why I love local church. It's people from various parts of society, rich and poor and leaders and CEOs and presidents and hourly workers and everybody in between, but then they come together and they will just serve and make much of the kingdom. And so
So when you said like there's not really another organization, I mean, Josh, you and I know each other well enough. I think that my default setting a lot of times is to almost just kind of doubt right there on the front end of things. Okay, so what's the validity of this, right? Is there another context that this could almost kind of be negated, or is there another context that this can fit in? When you said that, I was thinking, gosh, I wonder. So like I certainly don't want to unpack this like nuts, but like I know that like the world of humanitarianism, for skeptics anyways that may be listening, there might be people thinking, but there's a ton of people out there that are willing to do the same thing. And I think I would argue they may be willing to do it like once or twice, but the local church is there to walk alongside the entire time, right? Like a GoFundMe page, it's a wonderful way to raise money, maybe raise awareness or both. But like in terms of long-term investment in somebody's life, that's not what it's set up to do, right? Salvation Army, kind of the same thing. The local church, I think to your point, it's an organization that at least it's supposed to stay with you and walk with you beyond just, hey, as you mentioned, so Josh and Aaron are dealing with this sickness. Hey, how about let's show another human being that we care, and let's do something never to be seen or heard from again. Right. And so the local church is supposed to continue that process, where I would agree with you that there's so many different other organizations may do, or at least may seem like they kind of do the same thing, but in actuality, the walking alongside with it in life, they don't necessarily fulfill that.
Yeah, and I think too, there's a lot of very positive organizations in our world that feed people, that give
Sure.
water,
Oh,
and
yeah.
rescue people. Like that's some and things the church ought to be involved in as well,
Right. Right.
redeeming the world we live in. But do they care for their members,
Yeah.
their workers? So they care for other people that aren't in their organization, but do they care for their organization, their membership, like the church does? So the church ought to be doing that too, ought to be serving the least of these and having clean water and rescuing kids from, traffic, whatever it is the case
Yeah,
may
yeah,
be.
yeah.
But they also care for their members and walk alongside them, something that maybe other organizations, again, there's not good places to work and all that, but it's all of that combined together that I've experienced. And
Yeah.
something we're trying to do here is, just make sure we create this culture of community and care and kindness that is not found anywhere else,
Yeah.
because the gospel does that in us and through
Yeah.
us.
All right. So let me get into our so the questions that I sent you just to kind of keep our conversation from, because I would be a plate of spaghetti just trying to just follow whatever. So listeners, Brad and I don't often do this necessarily, but this being the Men Church Stuff podcast, one of the things that initially got Brad and I interested in even doing the show is speaking at least as best we can into other men's lives. And I suppose if I were to narrow it down, other Christian men's lives, like churchgoers, but that certainly doesn't negate, anybody that's listening to this. So that said, regarding the local church, Josh, do you feel that male leadership is important to the local church? And I'm not referring necessarily to like the leadership, like, right, your role as senior pastor or youth pastor or something. Like, let's take sort of the hierarchy, if you will. Let's take that, set that aside. Once you get into just lay members, just sort of, Joe Schmo of the congregation, do you feel like male leadership is important to the local church? And if so, why?
Yes, absolutely. It is of utmost importance. I mean, you talk about, we're not talking about the office of the pastor and elder. Those are
Right.
reserved for men, and we can get into that if we want, but also just men in general leading in the church. I think there's a biblical pattern of male leadership. When you think of the Bible outside of the office of the pastor, you think, I mean, the Old Testament, you think of Joshua as a leader, and not necessarily a pastor. Nehemiah was just a businessman, cupbearer for the king, who God used in a powerful way to rebuild the walls. The apostles that became leaders in the church weren't, I mean, they were fishermen and tax collectors, and they were lay people that God equipped to be used by him. So there's this biblical pattern of male leadership in the church. So I think there's a biblical pattern. I think male leadership helps strengthen, I'm trying to think of the word, strengthen the spiritual backbone of the church, unlike others. I just think,
How so? Can you kind of expound on that?
yeah, when I think when men, lead with humility, and conviction and love, like you're able to see, spiritual growth in a way. Some of those things may come more natural. Let me think. I don't think I want to say that to other people. I think just if men lead, it sets the tone for discipleship in your church, for care in your church, for let's see, courage for your church. And I think it helps equip a younger generation, and shows them that this is what godly manhood looks like. It looks like serving. It looks like not being just the CEO or the president or the making all this money, but this is what leadership looks like. It looks like serving in the church. It looks like taking up the offering. It looks like holding the door. It looks like teaching a class. And that can't be left just to ladies. And I think we would all agree that we have an abundance of women that want to serve and feel are leading than men, because where there's a void of male leadership, people will step into that.
And would you agree that again, that being a leader, especially in the church, is about special responsibility, not special privilege? And I think that's where sometimes people get mixed up and really start to try to throw stones because what they've seen is people are like, ha ha, I'm the pastor, I'm the deacon, you do what I say. It's when Jesus has given the apostles this view of they're trying to figure out which one of them is greatest, and he goes, it's the person who's the slave or servant to everyone. That's where it's at. Not
Yeah.
like, oh hey,
100%.
let me have my own throne.
And definitely somebody
Absolutely.
who doesn't have to have their mommy go ask Jesus who's gonna be sitting next to you.
Yeah, those guys struggle with
Yeah,
that.
right.
Listen,
Not you guys, that's for sure.
sons of thunder.
That's right.
Sometimes we think it's Zebedee, but I just wonder maybe Zebedee wasn't the thunder. Maybe it was mom.
I've never thought about that. That's fantastic.
Hey, Jesus, put one on your right and your left. I'm just thinking like after the cross, did she look back and go, oh,
Yeah.
is that what I was asking
That's what
for?
I was
Put one
asking,
on.
right?
Yeah. So you use that phrase again. You said it's responsibility, not
It's
privilege.
about special responsibility. Leadership is about special responsibility, not special privilege. Right. So, again, when we look at the membership model of the church, when people are looking at it like a gym membership, right? It's more about what I get out of it when instead of what I am bringing in and giving and being a part of the body, which there is a give and take, right? I am receiving, but I'm giving. And so when you're in leadership, there's a call to be the bigger servant and be the example. And like you were saying, set the tone and the mood and the whatever to do that. And I mean, that's the way I look at fatherhood. Like I believe the father is the head of the house, but that's about special responsibility, not
Yeah.
special privilege.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm
It's not about domineering, it's not about control. It's the responsibility that God has given us.
And Josh, to what you were saying, I actually mentioned this. I don't remember if it was one or two shows ago. Brad had brought up the idea that the church needs to come alongside and just for the sake of example in the conversation, Brad made mention that we need churches that come alongside and support pregnant teens. right? As opposed to excommunicating them, saying, "Well, you stepped out of bounds, and now you got to pay the price for it." Like, and that's that narrative I know is
Not
extreme.
encouraging teens to get pregnant,
Right. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, no. Yeah, just back up.
but ministering to those
Yeah,
who
right.
are.
And one of the things that and I really do, I haven't ever seen this happen necessarily, but I really believe this. Just this comes back to what you were saying, at least on my end of things, is there's something about male representation. And again, in whatever show it was, Brad and I, we just kind of came to the conclusion, like, this is, it's just the way that God built us. This is the special responsibility. It's not a privilege. It's not one of these, I get to do this because, but rather, and I've said it on the show before, I also think that the man needs to be the head of the house. It does not mean that you are the boss. But at like I hold the ace of spades, but I need to play it very cautiously. This is not one of these, you need to sit down and shut up because don't forget what card I hold.
And I think with wisdom, like I don't make a big decision outside of my wife because we are one and we're a partnership. So I'm not coming home and announcing, "Hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make this huge life change and blah blah blah."
I would love to see you talk to Tabitha
You'd see me. You'd
that
see me in my casket as
Yeah.
Josh is doing my funeral later that
That's right.
week. And
Yeah.
again, I don't say that because my wife, again, she respects me as the head of the household. She looks to me, for strength. I look to her for strength. But I think, like we all understand that if my kids and my wife and me are sitting in the living room and somebody busts through the door, they're going to face me first.
Yeah.
And no question. It's not a question in anybody's mind
Yeah,
if there
absolutely.
is
So,
an issue.
yeah, when you have these, I'm a big fan of defining terms. I think a lot of people, when they have conflict or disagreements, sometimes they're saying the same thing. They're just disagreeing because they have different definitions of words. So we talk about leadership. I think that's an area that you could say, oh, well, people could push back against male leadership because they would see as male control, male domineering. That's not the definition of leadership that that Jesus sets forth that we're talking about. I mean, Jesus said in Mark 10, I turn to it, right? Whoever wants to become great will become your servant, right? So we talk about leadership, it's about serving. So when you talk about your family, you being the first one to step in, that's not control or domineering. That's serving your family by taking that bullet first. Right, or shooting them fat, whatever the case may be. We're not into
Yeah, hopefully I get the upper
having
hand.
that
So
conversation here.
hopefully I get the upper hand,
Yeah,
but
right. Let's not get wrapped up in the nuance of being robbed. Yeah,
I
right.
also think men leading in the context of a local church helps for others outside the church, but also younger people in the church, allows us to reframe the biblical manhood conversation because we live in a confused culture that wants to say this is what manhood looks like, and this is, you can be all of this or whatever the case may be. We're not going to talk about all that, but we need men to exhibit biblical leadership in the church, in their homes, so to combat this confusing culture that we live in, so that the people in the church would say that's what a man looks like. And so yeah, I'm All that being said, to go back to the first question, that's why I believe and value male leadership in the church.
So actually, let's use that, Josh, as a segue into the second question, which I also know is it can be, as you mentioned, if we misconstrue it, it is absolutely a hot topic. I mean, it's a gaslight topic. But within the context of the local church, then, how do you see male leadership differing from female leadership? Because and going back again to the impetus of why Brad and I even started the podcast 2 years ago, I felt like there was, and I had been a part of churches like for the last 10 or 15 years that had what appeared, anyways. I need to make that caveat. It appeared that there wasn't as much male leadership as there was female leadership. And Josh, to your point, and I totally agree with it, that in a church setting, that if men do not step up, they're like one of two things will happen. Either number one, and I think it's the most common, women will fill those roles. Or two, the most uncommon is that the church dies. And that's what I have seen and I've experienced. So for you, again, within the context of the local church, how do you see male leadership differing from female leadership?
Yeah, I don't think it diminishes the female's role. It complements. It doesn't compete at all. We need them all. I mean, none of us want to go to a church of all men.
Right.
That'd be stupid.
Absolutely.
And
That'd be
we don't want a
horrible.
church of all
Especially
women
not the
or all,
potluck. Yeah.
yeah, all old people
That's
or all young
right.
people. Like the church, the local church is a conglomerate of people saved by Jesus Christ, and they look all different. And the passage in we talked about 1 Corinthians at the very beginning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the giftings of people. And just this one verse in verse 4, it says, now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And so God gifts us all differently, and so I think we need to use those gifts. And you can go through that passage, but both men and women are called to serve the church. But I think the Bible outlines specific roles for men, for women. I think male leadership often, if you could outline in all the different passages, whether it's talking about pastors or and deacons or just men serving, I think it has a unique responsibility for spiritual oversight. I think doctrinal integrity. I think making sure we're true to the word. I think that falls on the men. And then shepherding the whole flock. Those things fall under male responsibility. So, but there's space. Titus talks about women, teaching women and younger women. Like, again, none of this is trying to domineer. None of this is trying to overtake.
And to
You
that
have
point,
to
I
have it
mean,
all.
Paul mentions prophetesses and deaconesses. So like, my argument, and Josh, I don't know if you know this or not, but women in church leadership that Brad and I did, I don't know how many episodes ago, that's actually that is our most downloaded episode. I mean, what do you do with Deborah? Right? I mean, like, and if the conversation moves to, as you're alluding to, which is what I think our culture has run away with, which is like, it's not the servanthood, it's not the service to the church, but rather who gets to run the church? Who is it that gets to make all the decisions? Like what do we do with a Deborah? When in actuality, and you go back, like she's just a prophetess, like she's just doing what she needs to do. So yeah, I'm right there with you. All that to say is, it's we are human beings with the same spirit for sure.
Yeah, I
Well,
mean the fight the fight, maybe not the right word, but the conversation often goes to titles. And I just like we don't have to have a title to serve. You don't have to be a deacon to serve. Now deacons serve, that's part of their role, right? But there's some guys that at our church that were close on becoming a deacon, didn't get the votes. We have a certain amount that we do every year. And one of them was a little discouraged, And I just said, listen, just keep doing what you're doing. Like people see you, they value you,
That's right.
serve, continue to do that. And that's what's important. It's not the office of a deacon. It's that you serve out of your gifts. And honestly, some of the greatest servants in our church aren't deacons.
That's
People
exactly
with
right.
a title. They're people that just serve out of their gifts, is what you were saying, DJ. They just see a need and they meet it because they have that wiring, that gifting. Men, women, like I would just say, kids, students, like we need to just serve in all those. So, Paul praised a lot of women, several women. I mean, you got Phoebe and You talked about Deborah and Priscilla and Lydia for their service and leadership. I mean, the church would not be the church without all the pieces.
Right.
Some would say the church wouldn't be the church without the women. I agree with that. Church wouldn't be the church without men. Church wouldn't be the church without all the church, all the pieces that God has ordained. And so we need it all. I think specific titles and roles are clear in scripture for men, the office of the pastor. And so you got to be careful with that, but
Right.
that's that special responsibility. So
Well, and I think again, we're all supposed to be seeking Jesus, right? As the pastor, we acknowledge that we're not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church,
that's right.
right? So we're kind of under shepherds, if you will, or looking to the shepherd for direction. If we're doing that, then why would anybody want to not follow the leadership? You know,
That's right. That's
and I
right.
kind of take that from, you know, Tabby, my wife, said to me years ago. She said, I read this where somebody said, look, guys, if you are following Jesus with all your heart, why wouldn't your wife, who is seeking to follow Jesus, follow you? Because
Right.
there's the model.
Right.
And it works
Yeah.
when we do what we're supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah. And we live, you know, again, not perfectly, but we seek his righteousness and holiness. So Yeah. Well, let's do this. Josh, let's I'm gonna ask you a question in the negative, and then we'll ask it in the positive. Just like I'd rather end the show on a yay than a
know there
boo.
was going to be math, did you?
That's right. So
He's a
how do
music
you
teacher, not a
do
teacher.
what now?
Said you're a music teacher, not a math teacher.
We're not going to unpack that. Okay. So how do you think that men have failed in leadership in the local church? At least whether it be, I know your dad's a pastor, so whether like the churches that you have been a part of personally, testimony that you've heard kind of here and there about other churches, whatever, what have you.
Failed in leadership. I think, you could start people who are leaders failing morally, failing in those things, and you could go there. But I think really, we talk about this male leadership. I think it's an abandonment of responsibility. I think a lot of men are just passive when it comes to their own faith. Much less somebody else's faith, their family's faith. So I think it all starts internally, that men would own their own faith, and then begin to lead their family, and then that spills over to their church. So so they failed because they've abandoned their responsibility. That is their responsibility, to lead, to be a servant, to shepherd their family, those around them, and so they've left spiritual leadership to other people.
Would
That
you
passage, go ahead.
say that, like, the first word that pops into my mind when you say passive, and I tend to do this, like when
Aggressive.
passive aggressive,
That's
that's
the first
very
word that
true.
pops into
That's
my
absolutely
mind when
very
you
true.
say passive aggressive.
But I tend to typically go a little further with my word usage oftentimes. Would you say when you say passive that apathetic is a good word for it, or would you say that that's too extreme of a word?
No, I think it could. The kind of the second word, passive, disengaged. And possibly apathetic. I think many could get there, that they're just. I think apathy happens when we doubt the goodness of God. We become apathetic when we defer our responsibility. It can create apathy in us. I think there's ways for that. So yeah, I would agree that passive leads to disengagement, which then leads to apathy, if I could track it.
And that's why I ask, because again, my brain thinks, okay, so he means passive. I wonder if he's insinuating apathetic. And I wanted to clarify, Just in case any of our listeners are a little bit unclear, as you mentioned, you like to define things. So I appreciate sort of the three-stage process that that apathy is actually a destination to arrive to. It's not the starting point.
And I, so, so I think they've abandoned the responsibility, how it's been failed. I think there has been an abuse of leadership, like an authoritarian idea of leadership. I think, again, that kind of goes back to our definition of leadership, which what we see as leadership in the world, in business and success, then translates, it comes over into the church often. And so when you succeed in business, you're gaining leadership, meaning you're getting promotion, you're getting more people under you. And that kind of idea plays itself out sometimes in the church context. So you get a new position. Now you're a Sunday school teacher. And so now you got this, and there's this, oh, follow me. And now you're a deacon. And now you're a whatever it is. There's this abuse of leadership because you see it as control.
And influence, sure.
Yeah, an influence rather than more service. I mean, that's what a greater calling and greater responsibilities are, just more service, more Christ-like servanthood. And so there's an abandonment of responsibility and abuse of leadership. Of course, more, we talked about a moral failure. I think guys have lost, failed in leadership because people trusted them. And they let their own spiritual life suffer. And sometimes we see that happen with pastors. We see that happen with a lot of leaders that invest so heavily in other people, but they neglect their own spiritual walk, their own
Oh,
spiritual journey.
dude. Oh, gosh, that is a
Just gave
I had
I'm gonna
not
get
even
a I'm gonna get
considered
an
that
I'm
side
gonna
of the
get an
question. That's
update. I'm gonna get
fantastic.
an update later in our doc shared document that DJ's got another idea for a show.
Write it in the
Seriously.
margins.
Dude, no, like
Yeah.
I had not considered that as a as an aspect because, I'm and I appreciate that like I love Josh that you mentioned just right out of the gate, like there's these moral failures, more than ethical failures, but let's set those aside because those I think are unfortunately are far too stereotypical of like a part of the narrative that our culture hears. But rather, what if like we focus so much on service or on leading, we neglect ourselves? That in and of itself is a failure of leadership in a different
And well, and
mode.
a lot of times I would argue that that leads to,
Oh,
and I
dude.
think that's what he's alluding to, it
Yes.
leads to those other things. It leads to those affairs. It leads to those abusive powers because, yeah, we need to be spiritually grounded and abiding in Christ and making sure that we're getting fed,
Right. Or
That's why,
Brad, or
yeah.
maybe not even affairs or abusive powers, but what about just utter burnout? And I'm not talking about just for pastors, but utter burnout as a dad. What about utter burnout in like, and I know it's a cliche, but I think that there's a lot of truth to it, right? That 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. So if that's actually true, then where the heck do I spread my time? Because I've already got my work breathing down my neck and I've got a family that I need to take care of. Like where do I go? Where's my time go? That's fantastic. Like, sorry, listeners, but
I thought
this
you were
is
supposed to be talking to show up.
fresh, fresh.
DJ, are you up for a promotion?
That's right.
This
That's
is
right.
why the show's here, Brad. It's
Yeah.
about me.
And we see it play out. The stories hit with pastors. We see that. That's where the devil gets the headlines. But I mean, I see it with people who just serving in the church, they're serving, and they just check out because they've been going and going and going and giving and giving and giving, and they even skipping service to serve. And then there's no other input in their heart, in their own walk. And I mean, you can't continue like that. And so
You just
that's
pour
why
from an empty
people
bucket.
in our church are failing. People fall away. Pastors do the same thing because we preach 2 and 3 times a week, and I've got to give this and I've got to do this. And but we have to make sure, and I think churches can help with this, people in leadership helping put parameters in place to help guys not be so burdened in
Yeah.
that. I mean, again, we're kind of maybe getting off a little bit, but
No,
well,
like
some of the best advice that I've received from other pastors about, especially going from a youth pastor to being a senior pastor. One was there's a difference between your personal devotional time and sermon prep.
absolutely. There has to be.
And you've got to distinguish that. Two, you need to guard your day off. That doesn't mean that there's not times when you have to do something on your day off, just like anybody else. But on a consistent basis, you need to have that day off where you are, resting. And that the Sabbath or that Sunday is not the pastor's Sabbath. It's a work day for us. And so you and we need that time to be doing something else, to be disassociating for a minute, for a day, from a lot of those cares and worries and troubles, and just enjoying just being on the bank or on the boat, throwing out a
That's
line,
right, man.
hoping that big catfish will swallow that
Using
bluegill.
a brand new and albeit free catfishing rod and reel that I have recently come across.
I told you though, that's a
I know.
slippery slope.
I know. I know.
Open that can of worms.
There you go.
DJ saw me catch that big catfish and he went, "I don't think I could catch that on my rod and reel."
No, I could not.
So had you
That's a
upgraded
very
to
true
that
story.
then?
That's a very true story. Josh, coming back to what you were saying, and the more I've been processing, like again, how are ways that men have failed in leadership. If it is in fact true, and again, this is how my brain works, if it's true that there has been a I don't know if it's a trend, heightened amount, whatever the case is. If it's true that men have a tendency, we'll do it that way, or heightened danger to become passive, and therefore disengaged and therefore apathetic, right? In their faith or in their activity with the church. And if in fact the people that are trying to lift the church up continuously, right, and overserve basically, if those people get burnt out and the people that are passive remain disengaged, then there's an enormous hole that is not being brought to the church for the people that are getting burnt out. And I'm not talking about just to cover their tails. Why don't you take a Sunday off? I can cover that for you. That might be part of it. But Josh, as you mentioned, right, for one of the reasons why you love the local church is that it's this body that is supposed to be living life together and supporting each other. Well, if I'm passive and disengaged, I'm not gonna support Jack because like that's not why I'm attending church. If I'm disengaged, if I'm passive, if I've gotten to the apathetic point, regardless of moral, ethical failings or not, then I think that there's a much, much heightened risk of me as a man not being willing to Galatians 6 to it, right? Brothers, bear each other's burdens, therefore fulfilling law of Christ, because I'm disengaged. And I'm not even looking, nor am I trying to pay attention to how can I serve, not necessarily in, under the thoughts of programming or we need somebody to fill this spot, but rather, dude, I can definitely see that there's something going on. I've noticed it week after week. What's happening, right? And I would argue that if the logical progression is the way it seems in my head, then men are if there's a failing of male leadership in the church, then there's going to be less people to lift up on shoulders, or sorry, not people. There are going to be less men to lift up other men on their shoulders when they need it most.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, then let's finish this up with the yay, not the boo. How do you think, Josh, that men have excelled in leadership within the context of the local church?
So I
Besides
think,
having a fantastic podcast.
well, yeah, I'll share
You
that
haven't
off
been
air.
stroking our egos, by the way, just to let you know. Yeah.
I think men excel first and foremost when they're walking with Jesus. When, I mean, we just took that conversation, flip it, right? That they're clean and close to the Lord, right? They will excel in leadership. It starts with that. You can do a lot of things without a healthy relationship with the Lord. You can do a lot in your own strength. But you won't lead eternal things. You won't make eternal impact unless you are growing in your faith, unless you are close to the Lord. So excel in leadership starts personally. It's not about anything we do. Again, Christ has done it all anyways. We're just embracing that. So I think they excel in leadership when they value the Word of God, when the Word of God becomes of utmost importance in their own personal life, in their family. That's what we teach. There's so many men that stand around and talk around and share opinions and thoughts. Man, the younger generation, all of us, but the younger generation needs to know that the Word of God is the most valuable resource that we have. And so you excel in leadership when you do those couple things. You're close to the Lord. You value the Word of God. You talk about the Word of God. I think you excel in leadership when it becomes a sacrifice. You think of a shepherd shepherding his sheep, right? I think we mentioned shepherding ago, and we relate that pastor shepherd gets a lot of that, but also I think men just have this calling to be a shepherd for their families and other things. And a shepherd is one who sacrifices, right? He lays, Jesus himself was a great shepherd who sacrificed himself, but a shepherd would lay in front of his sheep, protecting him from all the enemy, protecting them from the enemies. And so real leadership, people that excel are, they sacrifice. So has our leadership turned into a sacrifice? Does it take time? Do I have to give something up in order to do it? I don't think real leadership is just throwing our, excess time. Oh, I've got this and I can do that. That's not real leadership. That's just helping,
That's
right? But real leadership is sacrificial.
But again, as we talked before, not going too far into that extreme to where we're sacrificing, our rest, our time with
No.
God,
Yeah.
our family, because I think I've seen some guys get so caught up in that, and pastors especially, other pastors, where they're neglecting their
Yeah.
family and their spiritual walk, but in the name of sacrificing for the Lord. And I heard one pastor say this to a group of pastors. He said, God does not call you to sacrifice your family on the altar of ministry.
Absolutely.
That's not what God calls you to do. Your ministry is first to your family and then to the church. But yeah, I mean, I agree with living sacrificially. It's just sometimes,
Absolutely.
again, we take those extremes and we go, oh, so I'm, we almost get this self-righteousness because look at
Yeah.
all I'm sacrificing. And
Yep. No, I think.
I think that right there goes back, Josh, to what you were saying. It's not anything that we can do. It's not what it's not this checklist of action verbs, right? Of, okay, so I need to serve. Well, I've done that. Well, I need to serve some more. Well, I can do that. Well, I need to serve some more. God, I mean, it's not about us packing in all the service that we can for the sake of itself, right? I mean, because then I mean, then I would argue spiritually, what good are we? We're nothing but a, right? We're nothing but a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal at that point in time.
But we're, again, but we're, if we're doing what you said, right? We're following Jesus. We're not, we're taking that time for our spiritual health and growing in Christ. We're in God's word. And the Holy Spirit is going to lead us and point out those times when we're going over the wrong line. Right? So some of those things are taken care of as we just follow that simple steps of, clinging to Jesus and his word. And so,
I 100% agree. I think
do you hear that, DJ? He 100% agrees with me.
100% agree.
He didn't say that to me.
I'll say
No,
it someday, DJ. Someday I'll say it to you. I think another way that men, I think, fail but also can excel in leadership is by taking courageous stands in our culture. Culture's full of lies, and so we need men to stand up and fight for what God has called us to fight for. That verse that I share often with men, people, but it's 1 Corinthians 16, 13. It says, be alert, stand firm in the faith, act like
Like
men,
men, yeah, like
be
men,
strong,
yeah.
and do everything that you do in love. Right? That's 14. And so, man, we need men to act like men and be, those are warrior terms. Be strong, stand firm. That's what a soldier did. They stood firm and act like men, be strong. So.
I always like to, with that verse, because I love that verse too, and again, raising a son, looking at that kind of thing, is that the model of manhood that we're to look to is Jesus. And we have so many of his interactions with people. We have so many of his disagreements where people were attacking him. They're coming at him. We have the situations where he's cleansing the temple and he's throwing over tables. Now, I remind people when they point that out that he was getting ready to go die for those same people, right? He's getting ready to
Same
go
week. Yep.
to the cross and pay the price for their sins. So before you start flipping over tables, you better make sure.
Right.
You're ready to go,
But at the flip side, I would also say, and maybe this
Was that pun intended on the flip
on
side?
the flip
Yeah,
side. Oh yeah,
nice.
right.
Really good.
You're welcome. There you go.
I 100% agree with you,
You,
DJ.
yay, there it is. Okay, listeners, the show's over. Now you're going to be welcome back.
Yeah,
Yeah. I would say that I think, at least certainly our culture in the last 2 decades, Josh, has want to run away with the warrior mentality. But the problem with running away with it is that Jesus also wasn't a stoic chauvinist, right? I mean, he wasn't this guy that refused to be in tune with his feelings and
Oh,
emotions.
you mean he cried? Oh,
No,
wow.
he didn't. That was a lie. No,
Yeah.
he didn't weep. He was
That's right. He
sweating. It was
wept.
hot that day.
That's even more. That's wept. That's not just like a couple tears running down your
I
cheek.
know, right? But so
Jesus had
like
emotions? Jesus has emotions?
Jesus is God. God doesn't have emotions. Yeah, so like I think that the balance of like as you were saying, Josh, like act like a man does not mean shun emotions, shun feelings, but it also doesn't mean only let them dictate your actions, right? And like, the conversation obviously is circling back yet again to like Jesus is the godliest man that we could ever mimic. So,
Yeah,
and
you've got to define those terms by the way of Jesus, not the way our culture says. So act like man, what does that look like? Jesus, because that's who's the fulfillment of that. And so yeah, you can take all these to extremes, but you gotta define them in terms of Jesus and follow that.
Well, Josh, as you are well aware, since you're again an avid listener of the show, you'll be very familiar, obviously, not just because you're a pastor, but like on the show, it's about Jesus. This is not about the checklist. This is not about a runaround of there are other ways to figuring out this whole spirituality thing aside from him. To that point, listeners, we're gonna close this one out. Josh, thank you so much, dude, for being on the show, man. Like, really appreciate it.
Yeah,
Yeah,
thank you,
enjoyed the
Josh, man.
conversation. Yeah.
It's an honor to be with you. Grateful for what you do.
Yeah.
We
And
appreciate it.
Josh, I will give you this one chance on the air.
Don't even know what's coming, but like
Is there
that's
something that you would like to tell Brad? about me that may embarrass the daylights out of me. I'm giving you
Ooh.
the shot. I have no earthly idea if you would be able to pull anything out or not, but now's your
Nice.
shot.
You didn't prepare one, did you?
No, that man, I should have.
Yeah.
I'll have to come back on, then I'll be prepared.
No. You already said it wasn't. You already said that you 100% agreed with me. So this
Surprise
is
guess. Surprise guess.
No, Brad, have you seen DJ's solarium that we put on stage for him?
I don't think I have.
Aquarium, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
You should see it. He looks good inside of this drum
Oh, yes, that. Yes,
yeah
yes.
enclosure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm your
We
huckleberry.
finally made him look
Got
good.
him. Got him.
Took a lot
Got
of
him
work, a
locked.
lot of
Took
money,
a
a
lot
lot
of
of work, a lot
work.
of effort.
Yeah, makeup.
Yeah,
Have
that's right.
you told him that it's soundproof and nobody can hear anything
Nobody
you
can hear
say?
him. We're piping in drums from elsewhere.
That's right. It's all canned. It's all canned.
He just up on stage hitting. Yeah.
Keeps him out of trouble. It's just a
Oh
little
man. That's
timeout
right.
room there. So before we head out, Josh, for the listeners that don't attend First Baptist in Milan, if they wanted to come, or if they wanted to seek you out and find you, what's the best way to do that?
We're here First of Milan. You can come to service with us 10:15 on Sunday mornings. We've got Sunday school before that at 9. DJ's one of our best Sunday school teachers.
Oh man, it's a little late. It's a little late in the show to be brown-nosing, but I'll take it.
But we got opportunities for everybody. We are grateful to have you come worship with us. Yeah, you can find me on all the social media stuff. Just my name, Josh Sinkfield. You may have to spell that in the show notes because it's a little
I
complicated.
will. Yeah, don't worry about it.
But yeah, we'd love to connect. If you got questions, if you're around the area, want to connect, I'll take you to coffee and would love to just that's one of
I'll
my
keep that in
spiritual
mind.
gifts, one of the things I love to do. Spend time with people. So
Brad,
but
we
did
gotta
you
get
say
yeah, we
that
gotta
taking people to coffee is one of his spiritual gifts? Because I think it's one of
That's
mine too.
right. Yeah. It's one of mine. That's right. Well, listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Thank you for being a part of our second show in a three-part series on the local church. Our next series is going to be on outreach. That'll come out next week. And that will be show 99. And I'm not going to say anything because I have yet to get an official yay or nay, but please be aware that show 100 is going to be, right now the plan is show 100 is going to be a pretty special one. So, yeah, be looking ahead for that. You can follow us on our Facebook group page. You can follow us on Instagram. Brad, since last week, listeners, Brad actually did get me all the pictures and his bio. So I've
Yeah.
got that stuff in our website that is soon to come.
And I updated our church, my bio at the church,
Oh, did you really? Yeah.
because I realized it was like when I first got here, and it
Yeah.
was like horrible.
It was.
So
And like,
it
I mean,
sparked me to do some things.
did you change your picture? Because your
I
beard is
did.
way
I
better now
did.
than
My
it was.
beard was
Yeah.
like, I was like,
I
what is
know.
this?
It was adorable. It's a little bitty
I
thing.
was like, who
Yeah.
is that guy? I was like, and it's giving the wrong idea. Like somebody come in the church and looking for the pastor. Like I saw his picture on the website. I
But I don't
couldn't
know what this
find
guy
him
is.
anywhere.
But again, listeners, thank you so much for being a part of our show. Rate and review us. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. You can see us on our YouTube channel. You can even email us at, sorry, I always do that, men'schurchstuff@gmail.com. There we go. I'll get it out. But again, Josh, thank you so much, man. We loved having you on the show.
Thank you.
Love having you as my pastor, man, my friend, my brother.
That's great.
Listeners, we love you. Brad,
Yeah.
I love you, buddy.
Love you too.
And
Go be his
listeners, we will
church.
catch you next time. Now, Brad, you can say
Go be his church. They need a double dose this week.